This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
You've heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Royce is a paid endorser.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick Royce, what is up with not just the hockey playoffs, but the NBA too?
Yes.
When did unpredictability become a thing in basketball?
Yeah, it is very unusual. And this is the mathematical probability in the NBA is unbelievable. There's a 1 through 8. Every seed is represented here, which is extremely unusual. And how happy do you think the NBA feels to have the Warriors and the Lakers in a second round series? So it's incredible that would happen. And Steph gets 50. LeBron plays great, so they're gonna have people watching that series. And yes, but nothing compared to the Bruins going down the tubes. I was watching a little bit of the Red Sox yesterday, and those guys were saying, "Come on, Bees, you can't get beat after that season." But I actually watched the last 7 or 8 minutes of it, and the regulation, and when they gave up that goal with a minute to go, when the other team pulled the goalie, Florida, Didn't you feel 100% Florida was going to win it in overtime?
Well, yeah, and they also started out hot. And you could tell Boston was very much had its hands near its throat, couldn't you?
Yeah, especially the first goal that guy gave up. Oh, my God, a little backhand flip, and he lets it go right between his legs. And and the coach controversially went to the backup.
Yes.
Everybody, yeah, except the other guy had given up 7, for goodness sakes. 7!
Yep.
The previous game. How do you give up 7? Didn't they have a 3-1 lead?
Were yes. They
were 3-1.
3-1.
God, boy, it'd be fun to read the Boston Globe. Okay, this morning, but when 20 years ago, when they threw everything they had at big games, it would be fun to read the Globe back in the day when the Globe was at its zenith. They had incredible numbers, and they would have had 6 people at the hockey camp last night. They would have been dissecting it from every angle. It would be terrific, but it's incomprehensible that they could blow a 3-1 lead after that regular season. But you know, if you listen closely, if you open a window in Golden Valley, you could hear the pucker when they scored that goal. When they scored that goal with 50 seconds to go, you could hear, oh, my God, everything happened. It was great. And then the Crackheads are 1 year ahead of the Wild as far as having a stunning postseason. They got all the they got the whole Leiweke crew, and they have, Sperling was a consultant, and the same crew that started this magnificent marketing operation with the Wild is out there, and they did it in 2 years. And I hate, you know why I don't like them? Hate those uniforms. I hate those uniforms.
Yes.
The glowing as that color, that aqua neon color. I hate that. Hockey, it makes hockey look like a foo-foo sport. So,
Sells well. You will not be surprised to find out it sells very well.
It should really make the Wild feel even worse, shouldn't it?
The whole thing should, yes.
Yeah, yes, because, they're not. Colorado was never as good this year. I mean, they had to do some things cap wise, was never good. Right. And then Makar gets hurt, and then he gets suspended for a game. And then they won the game. He got suspended, though, right? Did they win that game? I know he got suspended.
I think they did. Yeah.
I think, but they blew a 3-2 lead too, right? Mm-hmm. It was 3-2, right? 3-2 lead. So, but they weren't a great team. Dallas is going to the conference finals, don't you think?
So how does the Wild manage to simply get ousted every, like, in the most random playoff sport, where the regular season can mean absolutely nothing, as Boston learned? How does the Wild manage to remain the one predictable thing?
When I do the math, I did the math. If you count that thing in the play in the bubble tournament,
yes,
which you shouldn't because that wasn't a playoff series, but it was a series.
Yep.
I think they're 12 and 27. I think that's what they are, 12 and 27 in their last seven times they played in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So how long is the honeymoon like? Is this going to have any effect on them losing this time? Or are you still going to get 94% ticket renewal? Kaprizov was part of the reason for it because you thought you had one of the best players in the league.
Right.
And people are got to be disappointed in him. But do they ever – they never pay a price for this, do they? They were going to pay a price, and then they signed Suter and Parise.
Right, exactly.
But their fans never make them pay a price. I was watching BSN's post-game show. I thought they were going to start crying. I thought some of these people were – no credit, no real criticism of what they watched. And, and it's just this sadness that somehow this has happened to us. Well, you brought it on yourself, giving up a goal with 1 second to go in a period when the guy's got to skate the length of the ice. All somebody has to do is make him swerve, and he doesn't have time to score that goal. That's one of the worst goals ever given up in the history of the franchise.
And have you ever seen a team fold as bad as the Wild did in Game 5 and 6? Foligno got tossed in Game 5, and you would have thought they lost Wayne Gretzky. And then in Game 6, they got off to a good start. They give up that first goal, and they just disappeared.
I saw your piece from Minnesota. Is it Minnesota Monthly Magazine?
Minnesota Hockey Magazine.
Yes. And the website, it's for the web. Is it a website?
It's a website and a publication, but yes.
And you wrote it before Game 6. It looks pretty prophetic, but I really think the blame you can give for Ebbeson more than anything, I think, is the fixation on the officials. He gave his team an excuse after every loss, right?
Yep.
It was because poor meathead Foligno was getting called for penalties, and that's why we're getting beat. You can't give him that excuse, can you? You got to say, come on, fellas, stop. You got to overcome a few things once in a while.
His postgame on Friday was unbelievable. He kept talking about how hard they had played, and it was complete BS.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't play that hard. They completely collapsed.
Yeah. Yeah, not in that game. Game 6, there's nothing to brag about in Game 6. But I suppose, we hear the same, you know, what a great locker room it was, and everybody, we're all in this together. And they, you know, the one thing you can say in retrospect, though, is a lot of, when the year started, I don't think people thought they were going to have a very good season, did they?
No.
Did they? I mean, and they actually had that, what, two-month period where they were pretty dang good that they almost won a conference. Now, the fact that the conference came back to them helped, too, right? I mean, yes. The conference, 100, yes. They had 10 less points than they had the year before. They had, you know, 10 fewer points, but the conference kind of, the Western Conference was not that great this year. But it is an amazing, the most amazing things to me in hockey is that the seedings don't make any difference, but the home ice means less than it ever. I've been talking about this forever. What was your stat? Well, I don't know what it ended up being. There was a 4-day period when the home teams were 3-13. Is that right? Something yes. like that.
And you're right.
And now, so yesterday they're 0-2, right?
Yep.
They're 0-2. And the Devils Rangers play tonight, and I think the home team has won the last two, right? After the first four that the road team won the first four. So
well,
it's a fascinating thing to say the least.
And Saturday, what happened? Toronto beat Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay yes. in OT. And the Oilers beat the Kings to win that series in Los Angeles. The Rangers did win at home. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, home ice means nothing now.
Now, what I love, though, is the Toronto fans are so perceptive that there was a point when they were chanting, "We want Florida."
Yes. Right? It was after they won on Saturday. They were chanting, "We want Florida."
"We want Florida." That is brilliant, isn't it? And they tells them that. Just think if they'd blown that 3-1 lead, oof, to Tampa.
They haven't been past the first round since 2004. This is the first time since 2004.
No. Yeah, just like the Timberwolves. Except the Timberwolves can't claim that they've been out of the first round once since 2004. But it is amazing that that town is, and they now talk about a town that never pays the price for ineptitude. They just keep filling that place up at ungodly prices. Are they? But let's see. So who we got left in the West? Then we got seven. The Kraken was the seventh seed.
Yep, and they're going to play the Stars.
They're going to play the Stars.
And
were the
Golden Knights will play the Oilers.
Four seed. The Oilers are a three seed, right? Oilers were third, right? I think they were three.
I think that's right. But yes,
Oilers are three.
They'll play the Golden Knights.
Yeah. So it'll. But hey, it's great that Canada. There was a couple of years ago, Canada didn't have a team in the final eight, so hardly had a team in the playoffs. So it's nice to have two Canadian teams in the. Of course, the two most higher powered players in the league, too, McDavid and Matthews. So.
Yeah, true.
What did McDavid end up with? Like 180 points or so? How many points?
I have to look it up. It was ridiculous, though.
It was incredible. It was fantastic. And they did get him signed to like an 8-year deal,
yes.
too, right?
Yep. He is signed. I think Matthews is not. I think Matthews is going to be
really?
Free agent maybe after next season.
Wow.
153 points.
Unbelievable. Hey, where's Matthews from? Somewhere in the States, right?
Is he Phoenix.
Phoenix, that's right.
Arizona.
That is weird. I bet he'd like to go home and play in that 5,000-seat arena. Toronto must fear of losing him. Huh?
How they are still in Arizona, I will never figure out.
So you guys have been breaking this down, I'm sure, on all your Wild shows. But so what happens here? Do they have a bigger cap problem next year?
Yes, goes up a couple million more.
Okay.
It gets worse.
But they're probably going to get enough guys so they can go and get somebody who fits better, right? Dumb, everybody thinks Dumb is done, huh?
Yeah, he'll go elsewhere. And, well, Faber will just move next to Brodin on that second defensive pairing.
Everybody's down on Spurgeon too, right? They think he's too small or something.
Well, he was terrible. He was awful in these playoffs. Yeah. The stats on Brodin and Spurgeon, Patrick, were brutal.
Mm-hmm.
You can't win like that. It is incredible how this series and the Blues won last year are nearly identical.
Well, Billy is, he won't, if he pulls the cork plug on Everson, it's going to be a while. You don't think it's going to happen. They don't have any rules that you can't fire guys and when the play going off or anything like that. So
no, but it sounds like I think Dean has a couple years left on his contract, and I think Craig is tired of paying people not to work.
Really?
So I think there's a good chance that they'll just bring Dean back. Personally, but you know,
don't go well at the start, they'll probably
They also just have to play the kids next year. Like this whole thing of trying to look, I mean, this team was totally different than last year. It was supposed to be a playoff type team, you know, more the whole grit thing, that whole narrative didn't work. So they just need to play. They need to find out if Rossi can play. They got to quit sending him to Iowa every time they're mad.
Yeah. Yeah. What other kids do they have? Who was that one they had in camp this year they were so excited about?
They've got a nice nucleus.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have a great year in Iowa, though, did they?
No, and they fired the coach there. I think they got dropped in the first round.
They fired coaches down there too. Yeah, we're so mad at the Wild. We're going to fire the coach in Iowa. Huh? Was that the philosophy?
At some point in time, though, Bill is going to grow extremely tired, though, of these. I mean, you watch how they don't make any adjustments, Dean. Dean puckers. I think Dean's got the same problem that Gardy had in playoffs against the Yankees. Just gets real uptight.
Well, yeah, but Gardy's biggest problem against the Yankees was they were always better than him.
Yeah, that's true. but I mean, he didn't help the cause, I don't think, and Dean never helps the cause.
Well, it's a disappointing finish, and they'll start next year, and there'll be 18,000 people for every game because you'll keep coming in from Woodbury, making excuses for them. Everybody gets mad when you ever rip them about anything. The only place you can find hostility is in the Star Tribune comments, and that's for everything, you know. Those are cheapos who don't go to games. These are not season ticket holders that are responding to the StarTribune.com. So so they get away with it again. So our Wolves there, of course, they're gone too, as predicted. But I think the Wolves actually were more gamers than the Wild were, you know. Or I mean, they went out and played Denver pretty good the fifth game, considering they didn't have three of their top six players. So that's they have a few problems. They got a few deeper problems than the Wild, though, as to what if you're going to sign Nas and you have to sign Edwards and you should sign McDaniels. They got something, cut. They're going to have to do something. And it's not trading Rudy Gobert because nobody's going to take him. So all you can do is see if you can get anything for Cat. And I don't know what that accomplishes either. People got mad at me, but I wrote this a couple weeks ago. This could be the good old days, you know, because they could be worse. I know everybody said, well, we got a 21-year-old that did all this stuff in the playoffs. Okay. Well, 6'4" guards who are mediocre shooters don't lead to, you know, Steph Curry can lead a team because he's the greatest shooter that ever lived. Right. Ant is not the greatest shooter that ever lived. So that's our Wolfies. That's for sure. What are these cheapos going to buy the team, by the way?
I think the final payment's due next, December? But then they backed up the last one from, December to March, so I don't know.
Yeah, what the hell? Come on, write the check.
The guy in Phoenix bought them instantly, wrote the check, walked away, and then took the games off cable and is putting them on over the air for free. I want a guy like the guy in Phoenix.
Yeah, right. So what is how's that going to work for them?
They're going to basically forfeit a huge chunk because they're not going to benefit from the subscriber fees that you get from like a Bally's.
Okay, I was trying to figure that out. Somebody says this might be the way of the future. Well, what good does it do to a team? I mean, baseball, it doesn't work in baseball because baseball, so much of baseball has financial success has been regional sports networks. Well, we haven't gotten the Twins to say much about what they're not getting paid.
Rand wrote that the lawsuit's going to be heard or the first portion in court's going to be the end of May, right?
So not until then. And what they're trying to say is we're under bankruptcy protection, so we don't have to pay you. We can choose who we want to pay.
I think that's what they're trying to say. Yes. I don't think it's going to work necessarily, but whatever.
Well, but what supposedly is what the remedy would be, they lose their contract with you and you got to go try to do something else. You got to try to create your own situation.
Well, I think baseball would help the Twins, though. I think baseball's whole thing is that they are supposedly prepared to step in and help with streaming rights and to do some type of deal with cable operators. I don't know exactly how it's going
to
work.
Isn't baseball they're just going to have to figure out a way to do this for everybody, right? I mean, all these regionals are going to go down the tank. Valley, we can ridicule them and everything, but they've lost half their subscribers, didn't we see?
They're
50% fewer subscribers than 3 years ago or something like that. So doesn't sustain itself, that's for sure. And people aren't subscribing because they hear too much negative comment. That's for sure. So I don't know. Boy, did that team, they win 3 out of 4 against Kansas City, and after Thursday, they played terrible. Friday, they tried to give the game back for no reason. Saturday, you were there. They couldn't 0-for-13 with runners in scoring position. They couldn't get a hit to save their lives.
It was brutal.
And yesterday, they pop up and have one good inning. And beyond that, they're, terrible.
What was the bullpen on Sunday?
Well, they had to go to the second liners because they used them. But they didn't think when they sent Josh Winder out there with a 6-run lead that they'd have to get Johan ready and come in and get it out. Josh, how'd you like your stay with the Twins, buddy? If he's still with them Tuesday, I'll be surprised. So what's with Rocco flying him out on Sunday night to Chicago? I don't get it. They spend the off day in Chicago.
Yeah, so they can.
They can concentrate fully on. You turn a bunch of virile young men loose in Chicago, and now Chicago downtown might not be what it used to be, but you can still get in some trouble, I would think.
Oh, hell yeah. You can still get a few drinks last time I checked. There's still bars.
It's a 45-minute flight. Why don't they go out tonight? I don't get it. Just because he has a baby crying at home doesn't mean everybody else does.
I think Rocco thinks it's good for them to get the rest in Chicago, like they're going to rest. Papa Resto would say no, they're not. They're going to go out drinking.
Yeah, well, and if the weather wasn't so crummy, they'd be golfing someplace. Somebody get them on a good golf course.
How about this homestand? 10 games of just awful weather.
Awful weather. It was brutal. That's put them so far behind the dime. As you have the Yankees for 3 games, the biggest crowd is 19,000. The weather was pathetic. The whole 10 games was just brutal. And now this week is going to be not paradise, but it's going to be tolerable. And it is. I mean, you're at I kept saying, bring back the metronome. The hell with this. The wonder of outdoor baseball on June 23rd. Okay, but the rest, this spring is killing baseball in the Midwest. And how about the East Coast yesterday? Long delays, rainouts. The Mets and the Braves are playing 2 games at noon today because they got rained out all weekend.
What type of sadistic SOB schedule person, though, gives you the Yankees in April in Minneapolis? Yes, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, they've done that. And a couple of years ago, they gave them to them in September, too. I mean, it's they can't get them in the middle of now. You don't have as many, you don't have as many division games to stick in the middle of the season. But right. You look at this schedule this year and you got to puke if you're the Twins and Dave St. Peter and the whole collection. I mean, I think the public is kind of likes this team, don't you? I mean, I don't think they're down on them terrible. They're not overly excited, but they see a possibility here. So I don't think the fact nobody was here the last 10 days has anything to do with the interest of the team. I was there. Was it Friday? Friday. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Fun Friday or whatever the hell.
Oh, yeah. For the delayed happy hour game.
I went upstairs. Were Declan's seats upstairs?
No, downstairs. Good seats.
He had good seats. When he had his season ticket.
Yeah, I was downstairs, Pat, on the third base side above, 20 rows up above the visiting clubhouse.
You guys ever been in the third deck?
Yes.
Yes. I read your column. It's windy up there.
Yes, it's very cold.
2010.
It was howling. I'm not a small person. I was getting blown around. It was about 12 degrees, and I see a guy and his wife and like three young kids going up there, and I'm saying, why don't the Twins, on a day like that, close it and say, go sit down somewhere where you don't freeze to death, for goodness sakes. It's welcome. Come on into the Legends Club or some damn thing. And I was looking for a Cuban sandwich, and I damn near froze to death, and there's no Cuban sandwiches.
Why'd you go upstairs?
That's where they're supposed to be.
Oh, no, they're down. They're up and down.
I didn't realize they closed the Tony stand up there. There's no Tony stand anymore.
Oh, it's gone for good?
Yes, yes.
The Tony stand downstairs is good. The upstairs one, cold.
Oh, she told me where to go to get one, and she was wrong. It wasn't there either. She said whatever the name of the place, they changed the name of the club down there about every 20 minutes, but it's now True Blue or Truly
Truly, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't. They thought I was crazy. They never heard of a Tony sandwich. So what? I gave up. They didn't know. She didn't know what I was talking about. The woman down there behind the counter. So
behind home plate, first base side. That's where they've ordinarily been.
Oh, okay.
Plus they're hot down there. The third deck ones were always like cold. The damn sandwiches were cold.
If they put them on a counter for 1 minute, that wind howling.
That's a gut buster, man.
That's a windy place. So how about they've only lost 40% of their rotation in the first month of the season. You know, now they're down to they had this insurance. They had those two guys. Now they're down to the big three's got to stay healthy all year, right? Sonny Gray hasn't done that a lot. He hasn't made – they got to make – those three guys got to make 28 starts apiece.
Yep.
And they've run them out. They've tapped out St. Paul. So you got to take one of your infielders, right, and try to trade him for a left-handed pitcher. They need a left-handed starter, man. I hate this rotation that's all right-handed pitchers. You got to have somebody to give them a little different look, don't you? I don't know.
Every year, Patrick, we fret. How are the Twins going to get these guys? Ober, what are they going to do? I mean, he's pitched so well. What are they going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
Maeda, Malley have solved that problem.
Yes, they have. And Malley, I hate to tell you folks, but Cincinnati sold you a bill of goods here. The guy had been shut down twice when you got him during the season. What were they thinking? The other day they were – they brought out the trainer, and I don't blame him, but I was there, and they brought out the trainer and told us they weren't sure Malley was going to miss his next start. I almost said, I am. I was biting my tongue. The guy, you know, remember, each time they shut him down last year, that's nothing serious. Yeah, except He missed, what, the last 6 weeks last year or something?
He won't pitch till July now.
Oh, God, no. And Maeda, the slop he was throwing, it doesn't make any difference. That was a – he was wonderful during the COVID season. And, the quality of his pitches since he came back are terrible. Plus, he took like an extra 3 months off to come back, and he still – you know, his thing is probably, what the hell? They're getting me for $3.5 million. What's the problem here? So anyway, he's for a guy who had some success, he's going to make less money pitching than he took. He took the worst contract in history because it's all based on performance when he wanted to sign with the Giants. But yeah, it's they've tapped out Rochester. I mean, St. Paul.
When's Paddock supposed to be back from his Tommy John?
That's right. They're talking about him like July, maybe late August, early August. But
okay.
Yeah, are you holding your breath for that one?
No.
It is interesting that they had to kind of frame the Kirilloff recovery as, you know, like we got to be sure that he can play. That's why we're sending him back to Rochester. I mean, we're optioning him to St. Paul. That's why we're optioning him. It's like, after saying, yeah, it's good, it's good, it's good. And then he's over there and he's hitting, but they don't have room for him. So that's another case of, well, they don't have room for him. What are they going to do? Well, somebody get hurt. Don't worry.
Wait 2 weeks or a week.
That's true. But it was exciting yesterday in baseball with the White Sox coming back to win that game. Because did you see Saturday? This is one of the great events in baseball history.
Yep.
Lance Lynn takes a no-hitter into the seventh, and they put up a 10-spot Tampa. And they did it to him again yesterday, but then the White Sox got seven in the night and pulled out the game, and Andrew won. So now the Twins, they thought they were going to go in to play a corpse, but the White Sox might have some interest anyway. But the division is worse than it's ever been. So,
how is it worse than last year? Because it is.
Cleveland's not good. Cleveland is struggling like crazy, and they're not. They don't hit any home runs. All they do is steal, and their pitching's kind of screwed up. They got Bieber, but they're not nearly as good as they were last year, which is kind of odd considering they weren't expected to be too good last year. They played great. This year they're expected to be pretty good. They're not playing great. So it's Twins. It looks like if you can win 80, low 80s, you're going to win the division by 8 games, right? With them not playing each other as often this year. You know, you're only playing them 13 times instead of 18 or 19. So it's going to be, I'm wondering if, since you're gotten so into the wild cards and the whole things, and you got six, you should have, and if they ever expand to Vegas and Nashville or something like, no, Vegas, they won't expand because Oakland's going there, but they ever expand to Nashville in some place, they ever get to 32 teams, I think they should have 8-team divisions, right? That's what I think, and just do it that way. You know, there's more teams in the divisions. The NFL gets away with these crappy 4-team divisions, and once in a while a terrible team gets into the playoffs. But I think you'd be better off with 8 bigger divisions in baseball, because then you wouldn't have the AL Central, right?
Well, yeah, that's true. Now, would you cross the leagues then? And redo the divisions?
I don't like the idea of New York. There are ones that want to do it geographically.
I know.
I think Manfred too. But I don't think you should have the two Chicagos and the two New Yorks and the two LAs in the same division. But that's probably what you're going to end up with. For sure they're going to end up with a West Coast. If they do that, they'll end up with a West Coast one, won't they? I would think.
Yeah. And the Twins, I'm sure, would love the Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like Cubs, Brewers.
That's the reason Bud took the Brewers, and Bud is the as the objective commissioner, put the Brewers in the National League so he could have the Cubs. That's when they weren't drawing any people to have the Cubs come to town. That's basically why they did that. I didn't realize that. That was way back in 97.
Yeah.
That they did that, that the Brewers went into the National League. And then, rather than say, okay, Brewers, you got to go back to the American League now, they made Houston, they made Jim Crane put Houston in the American League after Houston had been there. And it's worked out well for Houston. I'm sure they don't have any complaints. But actually, baseball attendance in the non lousy weather towns has been, I've looked, there's been 2-3 days when Oakland's not home or Tampa Bay's not home, Twins have had the worst crowds of baseball. But I'm not blaming anybody not going to the games in this kind of weather. So,
right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So, I don't get to this day how you give the Twins the amount of April home games that they did. And they've done that before.
Yeah. Isn't that their biggest month? They had more April home games.
It might be, yeah.
The other month. Because last year they had a great schedule. Remember, they had a lot of July games and they had middle of the summer games and they had a great schedule. And this year they turned. You know what baseball's problem is? And this has been going on for like 15 years now. They don't consider weather when they schedule. They don't, right. You know, like, okay, we're going to open with the Astros are playing the Cubs, and we're going to play that first series of the year in Chicago. They got to play each other twice, but we're going to, you know, the Northern Climbs team should be home for 10 and on the road for 20. If you're a Southern team or if you got a dome, the Blue Jays should have 20 home games.
Brewers.
They can close the roof. But they don't. They just schedule them and pretend like there's not going to be any weather. So, and then you're going to get the and the Twins had to have that, you know, long delay on Friday because the weather had a chance to be worse on first Saturday and Sunday. It wasn't, but they these long delays because of the way the schedule is now is ridiculous.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
What else we got going on here in town? Not that, boy, when you lose both teams in the same week,
it hurts.
Well, it kind of softens up the market a little. And the draft is about our draft. Are we excited about the 25-year-old quarterback?
I think he's just a project guy. I mean, I'm sure, and it's fine. But I mean, is there anything else in sports where we? And I'm all for trying to pass quick judgment, but is there anything else that's more ridiculous than trying to judge a draft class?
Yes.
I got no clue.
I saw Pete Prisco gave the Vikings an A for the first rounder, said he sees him as the best receiver. Well, what the hell's Pete Prisco know? He's like the rest of us. He's a sports writer, right?
He's a crusty old guy, too.
Yeah, he's a crusty old guy who's and let's face it, 2/3 of the assessments in the draft, when you don't have these real high-profile players, is based on who's giving these guys information when they call them, right? Yeah. The national guys, they're all based on who you want to still be happy with you, right?
Right, absolutely.
Schefter is who's giving Schefter information. You got a chance to get really good reviews from him. Now he's not a draft guy, but
big agencies though. Big agencies, they love to pump up their kids.
Yeah. The agency's probably more than the general managers and stuff. If your agent is talking to Pete Prisco, you're probably going to get an A, right? I'm not saying he's not ethical. I don't know him, but what difference does it make? It's a guess. All I know is he ran a 4.49, which was his 21st fastest in the combine. So he's not a burner, and he weighs 173 pounds.
Yep.
So, and he had an ankle injury last year. Now he's been productive as hell, and he should be a good teammate for Jefferson, but you know, he's not a burner, that's for sure. So who knows? If you're going to put a guy in a line of scrimmage and bang him, and is he going to be a guy that, the big thing is he going to be a guy that plays 17 games or eight, right?
Right.
That's the whole thing is.
Well, and think about how excited we were about Treadwell or Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah.
You know, we have no idea.
Troy. We had no idea. Oh. Troy was blind. You know,
we fixed him though. We fixed him, and he still had the ball go off his helmet in Denver.
Receivers are, we haven't had a lot of. We've had, you know, Diggs, okay, Jefferson, but there's been a lot of failures here too. And we just really want to be. We always want to be kind to the Vikings, but we really want to be kind to this new administration and. Think that they know what they're doing, right? Because they seem like likable fellas.
Until they prove they don't, you're exactly right. Yeah, mm-hmm. I keep saying that too. I will give them the benefit of the doubt until it doesn't work. But, you know, Kwesi, man, he doesn't trade as much as Rick does to accumulate picks, but boy, does he like to move back.
Yeah, why is that? What's that about?
I think he'd rather have, I think he thinks he can outsmart the system.
Yeah, well, the best thing they've done in 2 years here is, I think, the best personnel move is getting Hokanson. I think that was a good trade. I'd a hell of a lot rather have him than a second round draft choice. But
absolutely.
But it was I did enjoy the I think I mentioned this when we talked Friday, but I do enjoy the photos of the fans when the Vikings draft this guy, you know, the people who go to the party, where did they have their official thing?
The stadium.
They did?
U.S. Bank Stadium, yeah.
They didn't add more people. You had a Park Tavern, I don't think.
They certainly charged them more for admission and beers.
What did they charge them?
To get in, I think it was like $20.
Really? What a bunch of thieves. Why don't they let people in for nothing? Then let them buy beer when they're in there.
Why would they do that?
Yeah,
they can do both. True.
Well, you know, they got to – meanwhile, we got to give them $280 million to brush up the stadium, which is getting a little old here, 5 years in or something, whatever the hell it is. But but I do love the people. They're sitting there. They draft a guy that 80% of people don't know, but they all look happier now. Hey, oh, yeah, we got the guy we want. The whole draft phenomenon in the social media era is surprises me that people still watch, sit around and wait 12 minutes of babbling and have the guy come up and get introduced.
Genius.
Why didn't they take the quarterback from Kentucky? The rumors were they liked him, and it's the future. And
those turned out to be mistaken from what I heard. They didn't like him at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they were just putting that out there?
I think the Hooker thing was the same thing. Because, I mean, they definitely had it out there that, you know, that Hooker might be their guy.
Ron wanted was Richardson, but he was gone.
Correct.
So they thought somehow they could
influence everybody
to back off.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. But, yeah, so I think both Hooker and the Kentucky kid was a total smokescreen.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we are ridiculing the Green Bay draft, even though we don't know anything about that either, right? So
my favorite one was Detroit, just because of the positions they took in the first round.
Yes, yeah,
running back and linebacker.
Yes, yeah, running back. I heard some guy just going on and on about how stupid it is to draft a linebacker. So are they still waiting to see if somebody gives them something for Dalvin?
Sounds like it. Yeah, they're not going to
They're not going
to get
out.
They'll be lucky to get a sixth round pick at this point, I think.
But who wants the contract?
Right, that's the problem.
That's the, exactly. That's the trouble. I mean, everybody, I think everybody's sitting around waiting for him to release him, right?
I think that's, yes. Yeah, which makes more sense.
Why would you give him, why would you give him anything for him? And when is it financially better for them to do that? After June 1st or something?
After June 1st.
Works. Yeah. So poor old Dalvin has to sit there in purgatory and find out, or limbo, find out what's going to happen with him. What's the object of that rule? I wonder. What if they have these rules, but you wonder what that.
Well, the post June 1st allows you to push salary cap ramifications into the next season as well. So in this case, it would be what, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to accelerating now,
11 or so.
Yeah,
or
yeah. Too much for what he can do now. That's this problem.
Well, and they brought Madison back, so that tells you what they're going to do. But they're hoping Buffalo is desperate enough for a running back. Well, Buffalo's got to have serious cap issues.
Dalvin said no too, because his brother is there, which I thought he might like. He doesn't want to take his brother's roster spot, so I think he wants to go to the Dolphins, but I think they drafted one as well, so
yeah, they did too.
You're probably right, they're gonna have to release him.
Yeah, so and what else are they in a cap situation where they're even sign their rookies, they gotta find some money?
Yeah, they can restructure O'Neal, I think, to create that. Their other problem though is Danielle Hunter wants a new contract, and I don't think he's gonna play because he's going into the last year of his contract, and there's no guarantee left. So he wants a new contract too. So I don't know if they're going to trade him, which I would have thought if they were going to, they might've done around the draft, or if they're going to try and sign him. Cause I don't think he's going to show up without a contract.
And does he have to, if he's no guaranteed money in it, does he have to anyway?
Well, he can be fined substantially, but yeah, he might not give a damn.
Fine if he doesn't.
And Zadarius as well. He wants a new contract. I think they tried to trade him as well. But it's the same problem as Cook. I think teams just say, hey, why would we give you a fifth-round draft pick when you're basically going to probably have to release him?
So, yeah, and Zadarius is a different situation, though, right? I mean, does he have no money coming?
He's got some, but it's not a lot.
Yeah, okay.
As far as he's concerned. as far as they're concerned, it's probably pretty good.
Well, how many games did he end up missing at the end?
Didn't miss a lot.
He didn't get anybody. He just stopped being productive, right?
Yeah. He had, I think, a half sack in the last 8 or 9 games.
Wow. Yeah. He was. But the players do get screwed by this. You know, they should be able to out there. When free agents are getting signed, they should be able to out there and get the market. But I don't know. Is there any. It's weird. It's
not
weird.
In this league.
No, you don't have any power.
Worst union, worst among all of them, might be the worst union anywhere.
Oh yeah, it's considering the amount of money your league is making. Considering that you're the only league that just prints it. You know, baseball is one of the. You know, they have teams that are lucky to break even, and. In the NFL, you could be the worst run operation in history and still make $200 million a year profit. I'd like to know what Ziggy's real bottom line is as he comes to us and tells us we got to come up with $280 million for this stadium. That commission, I wonder if the commission, if they get their speeches from does Lester just hand them what they're supposed to say before they go out there and tell us about the.
So what's the real purpose there too? Like why did they decide to do this audit of the stadium now? And what's the real, like, why are you saying that you need improvements on a building?
One thing is, like the Twins, they want to improve the computer presentation, right? All the electronics on the stadium. That's not our problem. You know, the Twins paid for their own. Twins, 30-some million. You guys want to stuff. You know, they have the guts to want to put 50 million of new boards and stuff in there, and they want you to pay for it. They're thieves. Don't You know, don't give them a nickel, legislator. Don't give them a nickel. You know, not many. Minneapolis is already on the hook for what, another $300 million or something to pay for their share.
Yeah, so, yeah. I think the Twins will grant back.
Yes, I. You know,
how about that? Give me the ding 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 where it comes out letter by letter.
Hello, Twins fans. And forget the O. Okay, nay. I can't remember what year it was. Hello, exclamation Twins fans, except they forgot the O. And I'm not sure that they forgot it. Somebody might have just been pranking them, but it's the first message of the year. Hell, Twins fans. Ding, 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 ding. And they... Bing, bing, bing. I did a piece on the Twins and Graham, you know, and I didn't realize those guys, they were just,
yeah,
they had no idea what it actually looked like. There was no camera telling them whether they were like touch typing.
It was very accurate, actually.
Okay, I'm afraid I'm headed for Ricey Throat here, but otherwise.
You sound good today.
Otherwise, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, Pat. See ya.
Okay, goodbye. Bye. See ya.